I wanted to emphasize one of the inyonim that's mentioned. You might say derech agav, but it's nothing is derech agav here. All inyonei hashkofa are connected one to the other. Yisoid of nivul pet. The first thing that I wanted to point out is an interesting point that isn't emphasized enough. You can scour, I can't say that I know kol haTorah kula, but you could scour all of Chazal, and I don't think you will find anywhere a definition of nivul pet. They speak about nivul pet in the most horrible terms. The Chazal say, "Layira lecha ervas dover, layira becha ervas dover v'shav me'acharecha." Ervas dover is ervas dibur. What is ervas dibur? Nivul peh. Gemara in Masechet Shabbos says that the inyan of nivul peh is so horrible that it brings tremendous destruction to Klal Yisrael, and it says there, Bavoy Navulus Peh, Soros Mischachois Ubachure Soneim Shal Yisrael Mesim. Children die. Famru Od Kalamanabel Piv Mamikim Lo Gehenim. So the question is, as horrible as it is, we know other Averos, there are entire Sfarim that are written, what's included? Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim wrote an entire Sefer, but before the Chafetz Chaim. Hechidami Lashon Hara. You have to define something. Where is the Hechidami Nivul Peh? The Gvaldi Kakasha. So you'll say, well, maybe it's not in the Mekoyres, in the Medrashim, in the Mamori Chazal, in Gemaras, Bavli, Yerushalmi, but maybe you'll find it in the Rishonim that are Mefarshim. I personally could not find it. You'll ask me, maybe you'll find it in the Poiskim, at least in Shelis and Tshuvas. Again, I don't know. Maybe there's a Tshuva somewhere that defines it point by point, but I have not found it. I have not seen it. So the question is, number one, why not? And number two, in other words, why are Chazal and the Mefarshim not interested in being precise about this term? And number two, it opens up the question, so what is Nivul Peh? In other words, we have to ask ourselves, what's included? Apparently, and this is a tragic statement I'm about to say, the Torah says, "Va'atem tiyu li mamlechas koyanim v'goy kadosh." There's a whole concept of goy kadosh. Now, there's certain things that cannot come out of a goy kadosh's mouth, and the instinct not to say something of that ilk, of that nature, defines nivul peh. In other words, nivul peh is what you can't say. It's an amazing idea. Why? Because what you're really saying is that there's a certain authentic yeet that is predefined and predisposed that he cannot say certain things. That's part of his definition. That's what I'm driving at. It's not an aveira. You know, I'll give you an analogy. It's only an analogy, so you have to realize that analogies are flawed because they're only comparisons. It's a ma'ein of what I'm trying to say. But it's a mushal. A person who's a Shomer Shabbos all of his life, and he's very involved in Shmiras Shabbos, in all the various inyonim of Shabbos. He's fully immersed in the inyon of Shabbos. You'll put his hand next to a light switch, and his hand will start to shake. It will start to shake. Now what is it? He has some sort of a palsy? Why is his hand shaking? Because the idea, the havamina, the possibility, as remote as it is, that he might turn on or off the lights, is making him shake, tremble, quake with anxiety. That's the emes. If you have a person who's nizher in yichud, so you'll have a person who's nizher in yichud, this is already a little bit removed from the natural instinct b'negeya to Shabbos for most people, because their sensitivities are not fully honed in this area. And the mamlechas kind of a goy kadosh here needs a little bit of a shtup. But if a person is truly sensitive, then he feels that he's in the room. You should forgive me for this rather banal analogy, but it's very appropriate. He's in the room with a gorilla. Now, I don't know if a person would be really in a room with a real gorilla. You know? And he would look for the nearest window to jump out of, even if it was two stories high. Because being with a gorilla in a room is not exactly a comfortable experience. So the question is, Rabbi Sai, why doesn't the average person feel that he's with a gorilla or a tiger or a, you know, a, you know, I have to tell you, recently Nebuchadnezzar was a tzara in one of the communities in a different medina in Pennsylvania. This lady was a few days before Chasna Vereinikel. She's walking in the street. She was attacked by a pit bull and came out torn to shreds. With who knows, 100 stitches, and Nebuchadnezzar gahak the tzaras. Mabona da alma kula. But she was walking the street minding her own business. Could you imagine if a person walked into a room, you know that there's a pit bull there, or you walk in, you don't know, and then you discover that there's a pit bull in the room? You run for your life. So why doesn't a person run for their lives when it comes to the inyan of yichud? The parrot says, because I'm doing something. I'm going to do something. There's the remotest possibility that I'll be over in Aveira. So the Teretz says, we are not sensitive to the Isur Torah, the Isur Rabbanon. We're not sensitive to the Halachos. But for a person who has such a sensitivity, so everybody tells over the Maisa with Rabbi Lapian, and it deserves to be repeated many, many times over, that in his Zikna, and a Zokin is a Zokin, a Zokin is Tosh Kaychai. In his Zikna. And the woman there was also Zakena. And they say that he jumped out the window, or he ran for his life. And so he said, rebellion, what's the problem? What's the fire? A person who feels those kind of sensitivities. A person sees a Sefer Torah burning. We get crazy. The person sees a Sefer Torah falling. So there's one person who's going to say, I don't know, do I have to fast? Maybe there's a heter. And another person faints on the spot. So why does he faint on the spot? The Teretz says, because the Sefer Torah fell to the ground. What are you asking questions? What's the difference between those two? So you'll tell me that one is more squeamish than the other? No. One is more in his kishkis, the Kedusha Sefer Torah. The concept of a Sefer Torah Shanafa is an unacceptable mitzias. It's a mitzias that rushes the blood all over his body in the wrong directions, and he passes out. And the other person is cult. What's the halacha? What are we supposed to do now? Maybe there's a heter. Maybe I didn't really see it. I was just in the room. So now look at Yid, but he does not have the mamleches kainim v'goy kodesh sensitivities. The reason they didn't define nivul peh is because it does not require a definition. That's the irony of nivul peh. Even lashon hara requires a definition, because there are certain times that you are allowed to speak in negative terms under certain circumstances. Nivul peh, never. There is no hechetimtza for a heter for nivul peh. Even certain terms that one is permitted to use in certain contexts, which we would otherwise define as nivul peh, in those contexts they cease to be nivul peh. Certain formal technical terms used by a doctor or professor describing anatomical parts is not the same as a fellow who's a minuvel, plain and pashut. There is no nivul peh that is ever mutar. So and one would ask at Heichon Hadvarim Magi. So I wanted to tell you a few things. Number one, many Svarim that speak about Nivul Peh connect it to the concept of Asher Lo Tahora, that the Torah goes out of its way instead of saying Tmeya, because you're not telling a person the halacha. If you tell him the halacha, you have to say Tomei Hulachem. But if you're saying something stam, and you're defining a behema, of what kind of behema is it, you're supposed to say Ashaloi Tahor instead of Tmeya. Basishlech Tmeya. There's something wrong with the word Tmeya, if you can say Loi Tahor. There's nothing wrong with the word Tmeya per se. There's something wrong with Tmeya if you can say Loi Tahor. A yid is supposed to go out of his way to speak in an edel lashon. And even the word edel doesn't have translation into English. Doesn't have an easy translation. Refined is not exactly edel. but let's use the word refined. So there's a certain appropriate lashon. Give you another analogy. The pasuk says, "Kol kvuda bas melech pnima." What does that mean? What does it mean, "Kol kvuda bas melech pnima"? So the answer is that a bas melech has a certain concept of kavod built into her metzias of being a bas melech, and that kavod is a pnima concept. In other words, tznius is not a halacha for a bas melech. It's the definition of her malchus. It's part and parcel of who she is. It's the same thing here. The language of the Yid is Peh Kodesh. And the Peh Kodesh cannot say certain things. Now here we have an unbelievable dilemma, which is the dilemma of our time. The exposure to Nivul Peh is also Asur. You're not allowed to listen to Nivul Peh. The definitions of Nivul Peh are not measured by the person who's used to it. This isn't something that if you're used to it and jaded to it, it no longer is Nivul Peh. That is not true. You could say the same, you should forgive me, four-letter word. And the Eibishter should forgive me. You could use the same four-letter word a million times, to the point where it comes out so naturally that it is like the comma and the period of written language. And there are people like that, that they cannot get four words out of their mouth without using an expletive of one form or another. And that's before they get excited. So now the question is, it may be in such a hechatimtza, since it's almost like part of the language, maybe then it's mutar. Because he really doesn't mean anything by it. He doesn't have an association with that word to anything particularly, quote unquote, dirty. It's simply part of the way he speaks. So the answer is, in Nivul Peh, there's no such halacha. Not that I'm aware of. There's no such thing as how you use it, or how often you use it, or that you can get jaded to it, or that it no longer has its original meaning. Avada, if a person hears Nivul Peh in Chinese, and to him, he doesn't hear anything. So this is a shaila that a person has to ask a paisik. The Chinese guy is talking Nivul Peh, but you don't speak Chinese. So for you, it's mamish nothing. It's Chinese, right? It's no different Chinese than I'm going home or I'm eating breakfast or any other thing that he might say, which you would not understand. And the same thing in any other foreign language which you would not comprehend. But for him, it's pure Nivul Peh. So the shaila is in such a case when you hear it, is it us or not? That's a shaila for Paiskin. That's not a shaila for us right now. But clearly if you do hear it, and you do understand that this is Nivul Peh, you're not allowed to listen to it. Now, first of all, if a person is speaking English and lives in a society where he was born and bred, and he's gone and been exposed to society, it could very well be that the kids in Williamsburg who speak only Yiddish from the day that they're born, and they hardly know one word of English, it could be that these words would be totally incomprehensible to them. But I'm talking about us. So when we speak about people who are coming from that kind of environment, which has much more exposure, so we know that these words are Nivul Peh. Now, what does it mean that you're not allowed to hear it? So you're now in an environment, there are actually etiquettes that are acceptable to workplace environments. And the companies make it their business to make brochures, booklets, and newsletters, and all kinds of worksheets. What is permissible and what is not permissible? How you can be dressed, how you cannot be dressed. What you can say, what you cannot say. What is provocative, what is not provocative, etc., etc. Anybody who would read these manuals or read these booklets will discover that from 50 years ago until today, there's been a massive shift in what's Asur and what's Mutar. And it's not in the direction of Asur. It's not. And therefore, it's not a problem. It's not a social problem, and it's not a legal problem to use certain words and terms in the workplace, in almost every environment that you are in. And the most sophisticated and well-dressed and endowed financially, people use expletives left and right. Sai when they're not in kas and sai when they are in kas, it almost makes no difference. So the shaila is, am I allowed to be in such an environment? That's an incredible problem. Now, we have a radio. The radio has certain rules. They have rules. And programs that are
permissible for children or doing children's hours also have certain rules. But today there are programs that don't follow those rules because they're not doing children's hours. And then there are written material, novels, books, articles, that are exempt from any of these requirements. And lehefech, today the whole idea is that that's part of life and you cannot exclude it. In today's movies, you should forgive me, if it hasn't happened already, I wouldn't know one way or the other. But I'm a very good Navi. I can predict things very well. It's not going to happen, but it's today that it's going to happen, that a very significant chelik of the movie will be the photography in full color of a person using the bathroom. You should forgive me. Because that is very much a part of life and very much a part of reality. Why should we exclude it? And the fact of the matter is, and maybe one day we'll even be zeicha to the smell as well. Oh, but the fact of the matter is, Rabbi Isai, that this is nivul peh, and it's also, if you start putting on the screws, the biggest problem is the music that we have today. So it's the biggest irony of ironies, and I could never understand how such a thing could be understood or comprehended in a logical manner. You have a dial. The dial zeroes in on a station. So you have a station that's telling news or reporting things, whatever it is. Most of that is treif also, for other reasons. Because if you never hear the name of the Ribbono Shel'olam for hour on end, you think it's not mekalkel our emuna? And if you never hear a context, the person should have a refuah shleima. They tell you this person's sick, this person never has that machla, and so on and so forth. Whoever he is, I'm talking about our Eilid, but they're talking about their own. So did they ever suggest the person should have a refuah shleima? It's a bitter emaisa. You know, the whole chinuch and hadracha of listening to something over and over and over again and not hearing the right things. The weather navi, the weather reporter, did he ever invoke the Eibishter? Once in a while, yezoicha, that something happened, there was a tornado down south, and those people are ma'minim on their level, in their way, and they say, what has God done to us? But did you ever otherwise hear the Ribbono Shel'olam's name ever mentioned? But let's leave all of that aside. There is never an expletive, because if ever somebody uttered it, it's beeped out. It's mamash, you hear a beep, or you hear a space. Turn the dial a little bit, and you'll hear a music. You'll hear a song. The song is full of nivul peh miroi shevat seifei. The topic is nivul peh, and the topic was nivul peh for 100 years. This is not mechudish today. Because the same chazal that speaks about nivul peh continues, as we mentioned last time, hakol yoidim loma kala nichneses l'chupa. But you're not allowed to say it, because you're menavel pin. And then today was mechudosh that is not only a heter, but a mitzvah to introduce l'shoynos that the whole world recognizes as nivul peh, because the purpose of the song is to be menavel pin. And this is, it's the sam hamavis for our youth today. It's such a makkah, it's such a tragedia, you have no idea, because the music is inviting, and the beat is inspired. The haraya, even by us in our music, we're beginning to be yoinek from their music, which is a klola nimretzes, which is mamish, the source of who knows what kind of tzaris that we have. It says in the writings of Reb Nachman Breslover that a person's nigun is mushpa from the nigunim of the goyim, oy va'avoy. Oy va'avoy. I notice another thing that I found very fascinating. So the Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yoina and Shar Gimel has a series which we divide in numbers. Reish Chav Vav, Reish Chav Zayin, Reish Chav Ches. These are the paragraph numbers. It's very interesting that in the categories of Lashon Hara, he finds it his business to include Nivul Peh. Interesting. Zokter Azeh. Hachelek HaChamishi. And to be honest with you, I don't know what they do in elementary schools, and I don't know what they do in high schools, Bizman Azeh. But if it was up to me, once a week, I would have that all the Talmidim together in unison should recite the Chelek HaChamishi of this Shar Gimel of the Shari Tshuva the Rabbeinu Yoina. Once a week. Hachelek HaChamishi Navlus HaPech. Omru Rabbi Seinu Zichroinam Levracha. Kol HaMenabel Espiv.
Afilu nigzar olav gzar din shel shivim shana letoiva. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so kind as to bestow upon this person 70 years of munificence, 70 years of good, it can be nefach olav. Nefach means it's turned upside down. That means all the good is nefach. It's like 1/2 is a half. 2/1 is 2. It's nefach l'ra'ah. For Amar Yishayo al kenal bachurav lo yismach Hashem. That's Yisoymav. Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Avi Yisoymim and Dayan Almonos. And the Navi says that he's not going to have Rachmonos on the Yisoymim and not the Almonos. Could you imagine? What could be so, I've done so terribly that Hashem says, I'm not even going to have Rachmonos on them. That it says, V'hoyo ki yitzak elai v'shomati ki chanunon. Even on them you won't have Rachmonos. What is the terrible Avla? What's the Alkein? It's the Chnoi V'hoyo. Ves yisoyma ves almenois of lo yirachim tichu kulay chanei fumera v'chol pe doiver nevola. U'ba'avuzois hamenabalus piv kaveit avoin v'nita'a v'ne'elach ki ozab v'hiniyach habusha v'hatsnius shehein hamidois hayeduois l'zera hakai. The Shari Tshuva spells it out exactly what I told you at the beginning. He says that when a person is menabal piv, he's not just doing an Isur. And the reason I added earlier at the beginning of this year that no one ever defined it is because it is self-defining what it is that an Ish Kadosh is. Hine Ish Kadosh Oiver Aleinu Tamid. So the Gemara wants to know, Chazal want to know, what did she notice about Elisha that defines him as an Ish Kadosh? And apparently it's not enough that he's a Navi, a world-renowned Navi, right? It's not enough that he's the Gadol Hador. What did they see in his Hanhaga that they see in Ish Kadosh? Unbelievable. So he says, you are all Ish Kadosh, says the Rabbeinu Yoina. Every one of us is an Ish Kadosh. Mamleches Kayanim v'goy Kadosh. Zera Kadosh. So how does a Zera Kadosh speak? That's what he says. And when a person engages in Nivul Peh, he is trampling and destroying the midos that are inherent to his very nature. You know, Chazal tells us an interesting thing. If a person does not have Rachmanis in him, it's a shaila on his yichus. That's the strangest thing to say. What does Rachmanis have to do with yichus? Yichus is Kain Levi Yisrael. The teretz is a genetic propensity to Rachmanis on the part of Klal Yisrael. There's a genetic propensity to Rachmanis. If a person doesn't have that inclination, there's a ganz starke tzad that there's a problem of where he comes from. It's a pellet de gazach. You know what the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yoina is saying? That the same thing applies to this too. A yid cannot be menavel as piv. He can't do it. So I had an idea that there's like a Bamed Varim Amurim. Bamed Varim Amurim if you're in an environment. And then your Menavel pivots, the weirdest thing. Where did that come from? But when a person is in a different environment and soaking in that environment and immersed in that environment, then anything can come out of his mouth. But what the Rabbeinu Yonah says is, but don't you see what happened? It's not pshat that he remains the same Ish Kadosh, just that the environment ruined him. Because it's the hatzlacha of that environment, of that hashchasa, of the hashpah of that environment, l'ra, what is the hatzlacha? That eroded the Ish Kadosh Shabbat. In other words, the bottom line is, he's a different kind of yid. It's a gefel l'chazach. And our exposure to this is, it's almost enveloped and surrounding us. Because it's become a chelik of the positive qualities of the society of today. And as much as it's frustrating to keep harping on the same inyonim, the same thing with the thing that's going on today that I don't even want to mention. Because that's itself a form of nivul peh. So there used to be a time when somebody mentioned those inyonim, bechadri chadorim, and with a smirk on his face. And the reason there was a smirk on the face was because there was an understanding that whatever the Torah calls tayeva is something that you're supposed to smirk about. And now it becomes a badge of honor. It becomes a davar chashuv. It becomes the matter for parades. It becomes the matter for
for legislations. And for, not just for heterim, but for mitzvahs. And one day it'll be that this is even a better deal than the regular deal of Adam and Chava. Because Adam and Chava, you see, it's not so partial. You think that we are not co-opted by all of this? I'm talking about Elohe Yidin. I'm talking about Yidin to whom all of this is anathema. But it became anathema with a clean aleph. It doesn't eat us up. So, that's life. That's why. I don't know. I don't know the answer, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure what the answer is. We're not moving. We're not moving and restarting all over and rebuilding. We'll make a churban of ourselves. Psikta Rabbasi, there's a chazal that says that La'asid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Bnei Yisrael, Tameya Ani. I am, Hashem is talking. I am amazed, he says. I can't understand it. How did you survive my goals? And frankly, I don't think even then that they were talking about the torture and the mayhem and the pogroms and Yimach Shmoy V'Zichroi. No, they're talking about this. How did we survive? And how did we manage? When it permeates the very air that we breathe. You know what the teretz is? Bnei Yisrael answer, says the Medrash, the Rabbanu Shlom. Bnei Yisrael, Nichnasim lebatei kneisiyos lebatei medrashos va'aymer lulei sayrascha sha'ashua yozav adati b'yanyi. There never was a different teretz. There never will be a different teretz. The air is poisoned. We put on our suit. What is our suit? Nichnasim lebatei kneisiyos lebatei medrashos ha'mezitzta melel and da'elik atayra. There never and never will be a different eitzah. And everybody that looks for other eitzahs, they're wasting their time, their koiches, and in the end they're making a churban. Because when you have the wrong Gates, you don't follow the right aid. And that's the Yisayid how you say this. The air is so incredibly contaminated because what happens is that we become desensitized. And desensitized is not a mamleches kain and vigoy kadosh. The famous words of Talmud Mufhak of Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the Mira Mashgiach after him, and then subsequently in Shanghai, of course. And then subsequently in Eretz Yisrael, Reb Chatzkel Levinshtein. So Reb Chatzkel came to America first because the Shanghaiers, they came to America and they established the Mir Yeshiva, was strengthened, and they established Beis HaTalmud, the Chulu, the Mir HaChever, Reb Leib Malin, and he was with them. And then he picked himself up and he went to Eretz Yisrael. So they asked him why. So he says, I'll tell you what it is. A person goes into a liquor store and he can buy a bottle of schnapps. He doesn't drink it. It doesn't affect. He can go into the liquor store and spend a half a day in the liquor store. It's not going to affect him. But if a person goes into a liquor factory and just by breathing the air, he says, you can become shikr. He says, that's America. America is not a liquor store. It's a liquor factory. And he ran for his life. He ran for his life. You know what year that was? You're talking about 60 years ago, Rabbi said. 60 years ago. Kal v'chaymeh ben b'nai shel kal v'chaymeh. How we survive is only Chazdei Hashem Yisbarach. The Eibishter's chesed to us today is maybe greater than ever. It's hard to appreciate that. You're in Golos, this, and that. But when you start thinking about it, none of us should be Beseder. Not one of us should be Beseder. It's not Shayach. With such a contaminated atmosphere. Rav Shvadron, very famous thing that he said. He was walking in the street and he sees two Arab workers. Their responsibility is to fix the sewage. And they're working in the sewage, knee deep in sewage, and they are fixing these pipes, and it's taking a very long time. 12 o'clock, it's time to break for lunch. So they pull out of the sewer. They're on top of the sewer, but a little bit 2 feet away. They're sitting on the edge. They take out their pails, and take out the sandwiches, and they eat their sandwiches. He says he walks by and the schmutz and the stench from that schmutz is making him sick a half a block away. And they're eating their sandwiches b'menucha because they are living in the schmutz. A meiridike image. After a certain point, everyone knows, and again the Eibishter should forgive me for using such mesholim, that after a person goes into the Beis HaKiseh, a few seconds, the gefelle chashtinkachts, and then you don't smell a thing. Azeyidus da mensch. And what is true of his biology is al achas kama v'kama true of his neshama. It's a pele d'gezach. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahira hi nishkin posh tezach. It's not tahira by definition forever. You have to keep it very, very carefully so that it should remain tahira. The neira v'ayim. So listen to what he says. I'll repeat the words again. Ki ozav v'hiniach habusha v'hatsnius Shehein hamidos hayiduos lezera hakodesh. V'holach al shvilei azus ponim. Shehimidas hanivolim haroyim.
This part I didn't read yet. The Rabbeinu Yoina, the Helika Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shari Tshuva says that when you abandon the drachim of the Zera Kodesh, you enter upon the path of Azus Ponim, Chatzifus. It's very interesting. Edelkeit and Bashedenkeit and Tznius and humility are all one and the same midah. You could work on this Ryan, you could write and speak for days on end. For holach al shvilei azus ponim, shemidas hanevolim haroyim. For hashenis, ki chilel es kodesh Yisrael, shenemar v'omru rak am chocham v'novin hagoy hagodol azeh. V'ze nohag al derech hascholim hanim osim hamiruchokim miderech haseichel shekulo yofa afnoyim. V'olo boshom v'tal tzachanosom, the shtinkachts comes out of this person. V'kol chochom v'novon shaketz yishaktzeim v'tayev yitaave. You know that the Rabbeinu Yoina, in all of his svarim, is one pasuk or malitzas chazal after another. He weaves them into his language. He speaks the language of chazal, the language of Tanakh, and sometimes it's very hard to read the Shari Tshuva because of that. But v'tal boshtam v'tzachanosam, no mivrochochom v'novin shaketz yishaktzeim v'saye v'tavim. V'neu mechalo klei aseichel asher yokom kokli chemdo. Now the next step. A person who is immersed in Nivul Peh, he doesn't think straight. He doesn't have the Taras HaMachshava, he doesn't have the clarity of Mayach. So his learning is kaput. And this is a Dova Yodua, that the minute that somebody, you can almost tell, you see a Talmud, all of a sudden he's not learning the way he's supposed to be. Not learning the way he used to be. Check it out and you'll see there's a Nivul Peh problem. If not in the Dibur, then in the Shmiah. Or in the Re'iyah, which is even worse. Vashay me'ad varnavlus peh onshoy godol, ki lo ya'atim oznoi v'lo yibodel mitoich doivrei nevola. It's like a bitter zach. Shucha amuka. We didn't get to that pasuk in Tehillim, but it's a shucha amuka. You know what a shucha amuka is? A deep and desperate pit that you fall into. You can't climb out. Can't climb out of a pit. I always felt that just like in Psochim, how did the Bali Musa interpret it? When you're a bar mitzvah bacher, before your 14th year, you check out the Yetzirah L'Or HaNer Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. It's fascinating that even though it has nothing to do with Psochim and Korban Pesach, and even B'dikas Chometz, right away, Kemat on the first daf, the next block, daf Gimel, we have this chazal of Mina Behema Tahira Me Behema She'enenu Tahira. Because at the very outset, just when he's Baidek the Yetzirah, the Satan Lohar Aner, he has to know this concept, that a Yid has to use refined language. You know who was Isaac in this so many, many years, to keep telling his Talmidim, and it sounds like such a simple thing. What do you need a Gadol B'Yisrael to talk like that? It's Dabar Pashut. And he knew otherwise. He knew that an American boy is not used to refined language. Rav Pam Zichrono Livracha, Edel speak. He spoke about it, if not once, 1,000 times. Edel Eloshim. And he didn't mean Nivul Peh. He meant beyond Nivul Peh. Nivul Peh man dechar shmei. Nivul Peh. Nivul Peh. A Yid is going to talk Nivul Peh. An Elech Hayid, a Ben Torah. Once in a while I get a message from Talmidim. They grew up in the American environment, and they mean well. In many ways, they are Yekarim Shabi Yekarim. So the Talmud wants to inquire of the welfare of the Rebbe and his Rebbetzin and his family. Isn't that a nice thing? It's wonderful. Talmidim think about their Rebbe. How are you guys doing? Not once, many times. How are you guys doing? Once I got a message. Hey, H-E-Y, comma, you guys.
can we come for Shabbos? Und sie meinen mamisch mit dem ganzen Herz. You see what the concept of hashpa and where you live and the environment that you're in. Go be masbir to such people who are really searching to be Erlich HaYidin on the highest level. Really they are. And there's a Mesiras Nefesh there. And it's not to be taken away from them. Go be masbir to them that the whole concept of Kedusha and Tara, the whole inyan of Masiris Avos in the most sensitive inyanim, is completely missing in their vocabulary and their understanding because they never learned it and they never saw it. Because they come from homes that are not even Shomer Shabbos and they have no Hasaga except what they saw in the street and on television and on the internet and in the language of their Chaverim and in the business parlance of their peers and their parents. Where are they supposed to have a sensitivity to Kedusha and Tara? But it begins with Asher Einenu Tahira. Hey, Kama, you guys. That's where it begins. So Chazal went to such an extent that in the middle of a Maseches Pesachim, when you're dealing with the Shveri and Yonim of Bedikas Chometz, Bechayrin Ubezdokin, Al Pnei Kol Amartev, not Al Pnei Kol Amartev, all of a sudden we have this Chazal of Min HaBehema Asher Einenu Tahira. Al-Kei Nechshav Loshin Meguna Im Yigana Odom Hadvarim Asher Heim L'machal Odom. He adds a very interesting thing. Are you going to eat? You're going to eat from these behemoths? Some of them you will choose to eat, some of them you will choose not to eat. You have to be careful the Loshin that you use about the food that comes into your mouth. You know how many times a person said that this food tastes like, and obviously I cannot finish the sentence. You know, the Shaarei Tshuva, you know, these were very holy people. They had the world arois, azoi klar, you have no idea. It's amazing. Sometimes somebody asks me, Rabbi Kahn, how come you know so much about these things? So I tell them, I don't know anything about anything. It's the emes. But if you have a chloric cup and you see the payros that are coming into my Dalet Amos and where they're coming from and what they're struggling with, and you get a sense of the people if the 50 years came out of counseling, must have started very early. But the Maisa, it feels like 50 years for sure. It feels almost like 100 years to tell you the truth. But this is really, you know, because you know what the Ribbono Shlom wants and you see what's missing and you put the two together and you have a Shaarei Tshuva to help you out and you figure it out. This is really what it's all about. And it's a tragedy that people do not come. You know, somebody came over to me recently. You know what I like about you, Rav Kahn? You say it the way it is. And is there another way of saying something? No, really, I want to know. What it was, we have 100 years to talk? There's millions of shiurim to listen to? We'll finally get there? We're running out of time, Rabbi said. There is no other opportunity except this moment. Just like Shuv Yoim Echad Lifnei. There's no opportunity to say it unless you say it the way it is. There's no other time for it. So, and besides, I take my cue from the Gedolim that preceded me, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then he writes like this. This is my Behine Chayov Adam Lizoya Shalo Yotzi Mipiv Dover Meguna Gam Ki Tevienu Hanachosoi Loshin Meguna Laharich Dvorov Ulaharchiv Mamorov. He says that this Asher Lo Tahira is a lesson for life. Not just what the Torah does, but how you're supposed to speak. Even if your language has to be circuitous. Even if you have to look for a vocabulary that's roundabout. Even if you can't go for the jugular because you can't use certain terms. The prime directive is not to be menabel piv. And no matter what it takes in the Haravanya, in the Tircha, of a different kind of language. The truth is that, if you want to know the truth, that Bizman Azez, somebody that talks without Nivulpeh, he sounds like he learned English from a textbook. Yes, that's the way it is. He could be speaking English from the day that he was born, and it could be his only language. But without Nivulpeh, he sounds like he comes from another Medina. That's what he says. Bezek Moigeder, so he says, why do you have to be so circuitous? Why was Rav Pam so concerned? Why was he so concerned that everything that comes out of a child's mouth, out of a Talmud's mouth, should be with such a refined language? That's not a problem of Nivul Peh. He says,
Because the Shaarei Teshuvah says it beferish. It's a geder, just like there's a geder of Arayas Chibuk V'Nishuk, just like there's a geder of Arayas Istaklus, just like there's a geder of Arayas of Yichud, there's a geder of Peh. And the geder of Peh is Eidel Eloshim, because when you are training yourself in a circuitous way to avoid the slightest hint of impropriety, then you are guaranteeing that it never goes further than that. It is the Peh Shmira, like the Ayin Shmira and the Erva Shmira. Then he writes, not only is it a geder from Nivul Peh, the gam geder lihizoher misipur loshen hara unesinas doifi babriyos. K'mosha amru rabosenu zechronim levrocha al archakas hadibur bignus, afilu bignus behema tmeya loydiber hakosu. For amru rabosenu, ki echad min akoinim oma lifnei Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, hikia lechelki milechem aponim kishir, Zon of Halata. He described a portion that was so minuscule that he got from his share of the Lechem Aponim. Kohanim, it's divided, but there were so many that he got Mamish Amashahu. But he didn't say Amashahu. He didn't say a tiny little morsel. He said like the tail of the Lata. Kizon of Halata. Bodku Acharov Umatsu Bo Shemetz Psul. They found the Pagam in his Kohuna. Because a Kayin, who's really a Kayin, can't talk like that. So you'll ask me, I would say, by Medvarim Amurim, if he's in an environment which is conducive to avoid a Dava Maguna and to speak with a Peh Kodesh, today all bets are off. Because the Hashchosa is so insidious and it's so invasive that the Ribbono Shel Olam has to ask, how did you survive? In this kind of environment, it's possible that a person does not have a shemitz psul of his yichus, but simply that he was contaminated because he ended up in the sewer for too long, and he doesn't feel the smell anymore. And this is a bitter ezach. Every person that comes into Beis Medrash, and there's a chazal, as interpreted by the Vilna Gaon, and I'd like to finish with that chazal, because it's so powerful. But everybody knows that you're coming here to learn. Let's say that a person sits here, and it's not happy. But where is he? In a Beis Medrash. In front of what is he? In the company of whom is he? Yireyim Ushleimim. You think that's not in and of itself an unbelievable ma'ala? So there's a medrash. The medrash says the difference between a chacham and a fool. A chacham and a fool. A person comes to a tree and he sees something hanging on the top of the tree. And there are like three examples of that in the medrash. I'm just going to give you one of them. And the fool says, how am I ever going to reach the top of that tree to take down that whatever it is? The chacham passes by and he says, how did it get there? It got there somehow. If it got there somehow, I can get it down somehow. That's a medrash. The medrash is not talking about trees, and it's not talking about what's stuck on the top of it. The medrash is talking about learning Torah. The medrash says somebody goes to an aron, he sees a whole shas, and he says, how am I ever going to learn that shas? And another person says, listen, there's daf beis, and then there's daf gimel, and then there's daf dalet. And before you know it, he learns shas. The last thing in the Beis Medrash is Meirin. Somebody's hired to fill vessels that he's provided by the boss from the river to fill them with water. The fool sees that the vessel that he was given is cracked and all the water is coming out. The Chacham says, I'm being paid for filling the vessel. If it's cracked or not. That's what he gave me and that's what I'm doing and that's what I'm getting paid for. That's the Medrash. Zok to Vilna Gaon, he's Meisif 1, small thing. He says, maybe there's not one drop of water in that vessel. After all, it has a hole on the bottom. But I guarantee you that it is the cleanest vessel in the whole country. That is such a meiridike type. Person comes into a Beis Medrash and he tries, and it's gaitnish. He doesn't have the cup, he doesn't have the zitzflesh, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. And everybody else is steiging, and everybody else is learning, and everybody else feels accomplished. And by him, the vessel is empty. But he has to know that it's the cleanest vessel. If it's not in the Beis Medrash, a person like that in the street, and he's in the garbage can the next day, and then he becomes in the sewer, and eventually becomes a chelik of the sewer. That's where we're holding. There's almost nothing in between, Rabbi. Almost nothing. This is it.